Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keeps truth forever, and who will never forsake the works of His own hands. Receive God's greeting. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may now be seated. Well, before we sing our first song, let me welcome each of you, especially those who came from Trinidad. I understand Lila has a big family. You have 11 or 10 siblings, right? Nine is here. Welcome, and I pray that the Lord will bless you and comfort you during this time of grief. And we want to assure you that we are here. If you need anything while you are here in Canada, don't hesitate to come to me or to any one of us, and we would be delighted to be of help to you. We're going to sing this beautiful hymn, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is," which is based on Psalm 23. When Elder Bill De Bruin and I visited Mrs. Shirley in the hospital, we sang this hymn, and this was Shirley's favorite hymns, or one of her favorite hymns, which she knew by heart. I still remember when we came to the hospital, she was already very weak, and yet she still sang with us, and she knew this song by heart. And so let's sing this song, and you can find the lyrics printed in our program. We'll be singing all the stanzas. Amen. What a beautiful hymn. So beautiful. The King of my love, or the King of love, my shepherd is, whose goodness fails me never. And by the grace of God, Shirley could say that God's goodness never failed her. We're going to read one of her favorite passages in the Bible, which is Psalm 27. I still remember when I visited her in the hospital, I asked her, I said, "So, Mrs. Shirley, what is your favorite verse or favorite chapter in the Bible?" With no hesitation, she said, "Psalm 27, verse 1. And she began reciting it from her memory. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Let's read the following verses of Psalm 27. "When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." And then notice what it says in verse 4. "Because this will become," really became, Mrs. Shirley's life verse. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When Thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto Thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not Thy face far from me. Put not Thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me Thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Children of Mrs. Shirley, this is what your mom really wanted you to hear. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, what we're going to do this time is ask Lila and her sister, I don't know which one, I think you. Remind me your name again. Carmen, yes, Carmen. They are going to come and give their eulogies. I told them to have 3 minutes each. And Lila, just shortly before we started, she said that her only cousin, right? Your mom's second cousin is here, and she also would like to give her tribute, and will also give you 3 minutes. So please come forward, and you have the microphone here.
My name is Carmen Gita Charles McCracken, and I am Shirley's last daughter, last child. My mom was very, very special to me, and we shared a very close relationship. She was my mother. She was also my friend, my biggest cheerleader. And through my mom, I experienced God's unwavering, relentless, and unconditional love. My mother always reminded me that I was her baby and that she experienced a lot of sorrow in her life and always reminded me that my birth saved her. My mom was always so proud of me, and everything I've ever achieved in my life is because of her. If I told her I was going to do something, her answer was always yes. And she believed that God would bless me in whatever I set out to do. Some of my dearest memories with my mom include when we had just recently moved to Canada, and we lived on the lakeshore in Toronto. And at that time, I was about 9 or 10 years old, and we didn't have any money. And my mom and I would walk about 10 blocks away from where we lived to this little pizza place that had a cheap pizza combo deal. She would buy me pizza and pop, and she would sit there and watch me eat it and just smile. And she was so glad she could do that for me. She was never particularly fond of food when she was younger, but as she grew older, especially after she had her stroke in 2012, she grew a liking to certain comfort foods, most of which became off-limits to her. When Lila and I took her on vacation to Mexico at an all-inclusive resort, she used to love ordering brandy on the rocks. It was the only time she got to have it. When it became harder for her to walk, I would just spend time with her on her bed, and we would listen to Indian music and sing together, recite Bible verses, or just hang out together, and she would tell me about old times. She ran her race, and she did it with love, humility, and steadfast faith in God, always trusting that He would be her ultimate provider and always trusting in His goodness. No matter the trial put forth in front of her, Mom embraced it. She was a fighter. I miss her dearly, and I look forward to the day when I will see her again.
Good morning. Thank you all for coming to this special and, I guess, in some ways, sad moment. I'm Lila. I am the 12th child and the one that was always with her since birth up until her passing. So it's a very special day. It's Valentine's. My mom loved flowers and roses on the occasion. Sad that she's not here, but she's in a place that we all long to be. So it brings comfort. And I have chosen a verse that describes my mom in every way. It's Corinthians. It talks about love. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes in all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This is so fitting for my mom. This is her in every way. As a child, I have seen her through everything. And I never thought I would be with her until her very last. I thank the Lord that I was able to be with her and care for her in good times, all the challenges. God has upheld us, but through that, strengthened me to become a better person, a mom, a better daughter, in so many ways. Strong, but my mom, strength came from my mom. Watching my mom life gave me so much strength, and caring for her changed me. Even though it's a sad moment in a lot of ways, in the flesh, it's not, because we look unto the Lord today, and with great comfort, only He can give us that comfort. That comfort that surpasses all understanding, and I feel that, and I mean, I would have to wait for this moment to actually feel that, and it's present, and I thank the Lord for blessing me with a mom to give me the opportunity to grow as a person and just be with her and enjoy life and just care for her. So, and I thank everyone in here has been part of that. My mom has wonderful time coming to Canada, became home to us, as many of you would have read the obituary. This was a new life for her. She smiled. She enjoyed life. She enjoyed life to the fullest. And today we complete that in good memories of her. She have accomplished everything she was put here for, and that gave me great fulfillment in my heart. And we see her off today, and we just look up to the Lord that in hopes we will see her again, and that's why we're here. So I thank you, Lord, for blessing me with such a mother. Words can't describe. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Ruckman. I am the first cousin of Shirley. Actually, my mother and her mother were sisters, and I speak on behalf of all Shirley's family who couldn't be here today. I am glad that I could represent them. But my cousin, Hazra, who is also first cousin to Shirley, is here. And for both of us, we want to extend our condolences to the family and all of you. You were specially blessed. If you don't know this, I want to let you know that you are, because I knew Shirley from since I was a little child. She's just maybe about, she was a teenager maybe when I was born, and she was so kind and gentle and always appreciated life. Yes, we all know that she had tough times in her life, but her children were her treasure. They were precious to her. And even though she had many children who are all here today, well, except two that are in Trinidad, I know they're listening online, she loved them all, and she did everything within her life, you know, within what she could have done, her ability. She was a responsible mother, and she took good care of her children, and she still found time to visit. She would still visit my mother. I remember the little children coming to our house. So today, it is seemingly that God, in His mercy, He is paying homage to this beautiful soul. And if we have known Shirley, whatever capacity we have known her, whether we are grandchildren, children, cousins, neighbors, friends, you have been especially blessed. The Bible says that the dead in Christ will rise first as they hear that trumpet sound. And we know that on that day, we who are alive, we live the life that God is calling us to live. We are going to meet Shirley, and we will be caught up to go to heaven. So may this be our portion in life, every one of us, as we continue on this earth. Today we have lost one of the best citizens of this earth. And I am enriched by knowing her and calling her my cousin. And I pray, God, that each one of us who are left, Shirley's gone to rest, and she's going to rest in peace. But for us, may it be that we will seek to live godly lives, so when Jesus comes again, we all be saved in his kingdom.
Thank you so much. What a beautiful tribute to your mom and to your cousin. Indeed, when Jesus returns, he is going to raise this body from the dead so that her soul in heaven and this body will be united again and will always be united, for there is no more sin to separate the soul from the body, or the body from the soul. Thank you. Let's come to the Lord in prayer, and we will have a meditation of God's word. Let's pray together. Great God of heaven, we bow before you in worship and thanksgiving for all that you have done for us in Christ our Lord. We thank you that you have given us your Son, our great shepherd. And because of him, we can say with David, I shall not want, for he provides for all our needs. He also makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. And he restores our souls. Yes, sin, oh, that sin that breaks our souls. But we have Jesus, the restorer of our broken souls, that he leads us in the paths of righteousness. And he does it for his name's sake, for his glory's sake, that he bestows his perfect righteousness upon us for his own glory, and that we can actually have that righteousness by faith in him, and that on the basis of that righteousness, we who are by nature unrighteous might be declared righteous, just, as if we had never sinned before, and as if we ourselves had kept your law perfectly. And because we have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no more condemnation upon us. And therefore we can say with David, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Lord, we thank you for your abiding presence. We thank you for your promise to us who believe in Jesus, that you will not leave us nor forsake us. And we thank you also that you comfort us and discipline us with your rod and staff. When we disobey you, you are there to discipline us, for you love us. And we thank you also that you continue to prepare a table for us. And because we are in Christ, we can enjoy this table. We can enjoy your provision. Yes, even in the presence of our enemies. Because we know, O Lord, that even Satan cannot touch us without your permission. Satan cannot do anything to us without your divine permission. And so we thank you that we have you as our shepherd, taking care of his sheep. And we thank you also for the assurance that we have that no one can pluck us out of your hand. Even the devil, as strong as he is, he cannot separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And we thank you also, Lord, for your goodness and mercy, which follow us all the days of our lives. And we see that also, even in the life of Shirley, that even when she was in the hospital for many days, your goodness and mercy were following her, providing for all her needs, encouraging her and comforting her. And because of this, Lord, indeed we can say, we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And we thank you that Shirley is now dwelling in the house of her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we pray for those who are with us this morning, left behind by our dear sister Shirley. We think especially of her husband, Mr. Philip Charles. Lord, please help him through this season of grief. Touch him, Lord, with your unfailing love and kindness. And may he sense your special presence in this time of sorrow. We also pray for Shirley's children, Kamala, Wimbar, Barry, Margaret, Primo, Michael, Ramesh, Lila, and Carmen. And even for Samdeo and Kendrick, who are unable to join us for this funeral. Lord, please come alongside them in their sorrow and strengthen them and remind them of the glorious doctrine of the resurrection of the saints, so that they may not grieve like the unbelievers do who have no hope of resurrection. We thank you that this body before us will someday be raised from the dead. And we also pray for Shirley's 28 grandchildren and 18 great grandchildren and one great grandchild. Lord, remember them all in your mercy. And I pray, Lord, that they may also believe in the same Lord that Shirley believed, that they may also enjoy the goodness and mercy of this good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that you would also bless this funeral service for your glory. And if there is anyone, Lord, in our midst who doesn't know Jesus savingly, who has no confidence in Jesus, who does not believe in God, Lord, use this funeral service for the conversion of that sinner, that this day may be the day of salvation for those who are outside the Lord Jesus Christ. We also commit to you the graveside service. Bless it, Lord. We pray for Pastor Mario Charpentier as he leads us with this service. Grant him, Lord, your benediction. We thank you, Lord, for everything. Humble us and keep us from sin. And help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, in whose name we pray. Amen. I invite you to please get your Bibles and join me as I read two verses that were very dear to Shirley. First, Psalm 23, verse 6. Psalm 23, verse 6. And then Psalm 27, verse 4. First, let's read Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. House of the Lord forever. And then Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell again in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Thus far the reading of God's holy, infallible word, and may God Himself add His divine blessing to it. When I think of your mom, I think of those two verses because of her desire to be in the house of the Lord. In fact, toward the end of her life, when she was already very weak, she would say to Lila, and Lila told me about this, that's why I know about this, "Get my dress and hat ready. I want to go to church. I want to be in the house of the Lord." That was her desire toward the end of her life. She wanted to worship the Lord in God's house. And then I remember when Bill De Bruin and I came to visit her in the hospital, I kept overhearing her say to either you, Lila, or Carmen, she would ask you, if you recall, "What's day today? Is it Sunday?" Remember that? Is it Sunday? And then you would say, "No, Mom." And then you would see the disappointment on her face. Like, "Oh, it's not Sunday." She really wanted, even when she was in the hospital, so weak, she wanted to be in the house of the Lord. Indeed, she could say with David, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." Well, there is a sense that when Shirley died, she entered God's house. And that's why we say she went home to be with the Lord. Why do we say that? She went home to be with the Lord. She is now home with the Lord, with her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Indeed, she can echo the words of David here in Psalm 23. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." She is dwelling in the house of the Lord forever, in that sense, home with the Lord. Now, what I'm going to do in our remaining time is help you understand that concept of God's house. What does it mean? When David says I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Does God really have a house? Well, I'm going to give you three descriptions about the house of the Lord. What is the house of the Lord? Well, first of all, God's house is a place of glory. God's house is a place of God's glory. What is stunning here in our text is that even if God is present everywhere, He is said to have a house. And you might ask, why does God need a house? Well, the simple answer to that question is this. Because it is in His house that He reveals His glory to us. Now, in the Old Testament, we had the tabernacle, a portable, movable place of worship constructed by Moses. And this tabernacle was referred to as God's house. And it was through this place that God revealed His glory to His people. Now, that tabernacle was replaced by the temple built by King Solomon, permanent, not portable or movable. But that temple too is referred to as the house of the Lord. That's why in 2 Chronicles chapter 3 verse 1, there we read, "Now Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem on Mount Moriah." And so it was through this Jerusalem temple that God dwelt among His people and revealed His glory to them. Now, we need to realize this, that both the tabernacle and the temple are but types, only types or symbols of the new heaven and new earth, which is the eternal home of God's people, where God's glory will be most fully revealed. One writer by the name of Jonathan Edwards said, "Heaven is created for God's glory. It is the place where His glory is most fully known." And that's why in the Bible, the term glory and the term heaven are used synonymously or interchangeably. And that's why we say this. Shirley went home to be with the Lord. She went to heaven. But there is another expression that we use. She is now in glory. Or she passed into glory. Why do we say that? She passed into glory. Well, because heaven, God's house, is a place of glory. I remember this story about the students from Geneva Academy or Geneva College, founded by the Protestant reformer John Calvin. As you know, John Calvin taught in this academy. Now, the students who came from France, when they graduated from Geneva Academy, their standard goodbye greeting was this: "See you next in glory. See you next in glory." Why? Well, because they knew that as soon as they returned to France, they would be persecuted and even killed. They would not see each other again. And so their standard goodbye greeting was, "See you next in glory. I'm going to meet you in God's house, in the place where God reveals His glory most fully." Asaph says in Psalm 73, Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. You see, when Shirley died, God received her to glory. Now, we have been talking about God's glory. What is glory? What is God's glory? Why is heaven a place of glory anyway? I'll give you two quick reasons why. Here's the first one. Heaven, God's house, is a place of glory because of the absence of sin. There is no more sin in heaven. Listen up, please. Essentially, sin is a falling short of God's glory. That's why we read in Romans 3 verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." This is God's perfect standard. Holiness, perfect righteousness. Whenever we sin, we fall short of His glory. Now, heaven is a place of glory because there is no more sin there. There is no more falling short of God's glory. Imagine, therefore, what Shirley is doing right now in heaven. In heaven, she cannot sin anymore. In heaven, she will never be able to sin. And so, everything that she does in heaven is so glorious. I love to play basketball. And oftentimes, I would miss my shot. The ball always, well, not always, oftentimes falls off the rim. And I have not yet met a basketball player who can honestly say that in every shot he makes, it's always inside the rim. No. Now, if we are honest with ourselves, we are like that basketball player. We fall short of God's glory. We are sinners. We sin. God says, pray without ceasing. But if we are honest, we don't pray as we should. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. God wants us to worship Him, to be in His house on Sunday. But many of us, if we are honest, we disregard Sunday. We would rather go to the park. We would rather go to the mall. We would rather go to the beach or to the lake, do some fishing, than be in the house of the Lord, than worship the Lord. We all sin. Children, you disobey your parents. We all disobey our parents. But you see, in heaven, there is no more sin. And that's why, by the way, this is hard to imagine. Can you imagine? Just think for a moment. Can you imagine life without sinning? Can you? Like, if you are a true believer in Christ, if you really love the Lord, you don't want to sin against Him. You don't want to hurt Him. Because every sin hurts God. You want to give your best to honor Him, but you know that you fail anyway. Of course, it's not an excuse. You don't say, well, I don't want to serve the Lord, don't want to worship Him because I can't really worship Him as I should. No. You strive for perfection. You strive for righteousness. That's what the Bible says. Be holy as God is holy. But we sin. But the time will come for those who are in Christ. When they die, they cannot sin anymore. So first, because there is no more sin in heaven. And I add this, second reason why heaven is a place of glory. Because of the presence of Christ. Because Christ is there. Now, Hebrews 1 verse 3 says, Jesus is the radiance, the brightness or reflection of the glory of God. Now, do you know why heaven is the most beautiful, wonderful, glorious place of all the places? Well, it is because that place, heaven, is filled with the glory and presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And do you know why hell is the ugliest place of all the places? Well, because hell is devoid of the glory of Christ. You cannot find the glory of Jesus in hell. That's why that's the ugliest place of all the places. But in heaven, heaven is filled with the presence, glorious presence, holy presence of Jesus Christ. And imagine now the situation of Shirley. She is in that place, filled with the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. She is seeing Jesus face to face. As one hymn writer says, "And I shall see Him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see Him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. Someday my earthly house," referring to our body, "someday my earthly house will fall. I cannot tell how soon it will be. But this I know, my all in all has now a place in heaven for me." Can you repeat wholeheartedly the words of this hymn? God forbid, what if you were to die today? God says, "It is appointed to man once to die, and after that, judgment." We are facing the reality of death. Have you ever thought of your own death? God has already appointed your death day, and it will come. I don't know my death day. I know my birthday very well. But God has already appointed my death day. It will come. The question is, are you prepared to meet the Lord? Because you cannot escape the Lord. You will stand before Him and He will judge you. Now you might say, "Well, Pastor, I want to be with the Lord. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to be with Him in that place of glory. I don't want to go to hell. How can I be in heaven? I am a sinner. Well, I have good news for you. And this is my second point about God's house. God's house is the place of believers in Christ. In other words, if you believe in Jesus, if you put your trust in Him, you will have this assurance that when you have to face your death, you will be with the Lord forever. Our text says, look at our text again, Psalm 23 verse 6. "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, do you know who is speaking in this verse? Who wrote Psalm 23? David. Now, who was David? Who was David? What did he do? Now, let us not forget what he did. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. Not only that, he murdered Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. David was an adulterer. David was a murderer. David was a great sinner. And you might say, "How dare you say, David, that you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Where did you get that assurance? You are a great sinner." Yes, David was a great sinner, but he also believed in the Messiah. He also believed in God. He repented of his sins. And that's why we read in Psalm 51, and this was David's prayer to God after he had committed adultery and murder. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions. And my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. He repented of his sin. And so if you repent of your sin, don't deny your sin. You know, we are quick to deny our sin. We say, no, I'm not. I'm good. Yeah, you are good until you get hit by the light of the gospel, by the light of God's law. It's like children, I remember one day, I was going to impress my wife. She was not home and I was cleaning the kitchen. And I really wanted it to be super clean. And I gave my best. And then a few hours later, here came the sunshine. Boom, the beam, like, oh, I saw the dust on the, I think, the stove. I said, oh, I missed that spot. Like, I did not see that, but this sunlight just revealed that dust. And the same is true. Sometimes we think we are good. Sometimes we think, well, I should be going to heaven. I should be dwelling in the house of the Lord because I'm not like David. I have not committed adultery or murder. But we are all sinners. It takes one sin to be condemned by God. We are sinners. And yet if we say sorry to God, that is to say, if we acknowledge our sin, Lord, please forgive me. Cleanse me. And God is willing to forgive us. As one hymn writer says, O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. You will receive pardon the moment you ask for forgiveness. And that's why there are two kinds of sinners. Repentant and unrepentant. You are either one of the two. You have two kinds of sinners. Believing, those who believe in Jesus, or unbelieving sinners, those who don't believe in Jesus. We are all sinners. But if you believe in Jesus, if you ask for forgiveness, I guarantee you, from God's word, He is going to forgive you. Because our God delights in mercy. He enjoys forgiving sinners. One of the favorite verses of Shirley was Psalm 27 verse 1, which I mentioned earlier. The Lord is my light and my salvation. That's so wonderful. Can you say this? Can you say this morning, yes, the Lord is also my light and my salvation. The Lord is my glory and my salvation. He is all that I want. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Maybe this morning you are tired. Well, without God, you don't have true strength. God is our strength. Leela told me too that Shirley, she really liked the hymn by John Newton, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. Now, you may not know this. Toward the end of his life, John Newton, the one who wrote Amazing Grace, he actually died at the age of 82. Your mom died at the age of 81. Toward the end of his life, he started losing his memory. It was dementia, as we would call it today. But he said this, although my memory is fading, I remember two things very clearly. I am a great sinner and Christ is a great Savior. Wow. If you can remember that, I am a great sinner. Yes, I don't deny that. But I have a great Savior. And therefore, I can say with David, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, finally, so first, what is God's house? God's house is a place of glory. Second, God's house is a place for those who believe in God and those who repent of their sin. And finally and lastly, God's house is a place of eternity. Now notice what David says here. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. So God's house is a place of eternity. Once you are there forever and ever and ever. And you might ask again, why is heaven a place of eternity? Well, because there is no more sin there. No more sin there. Because by its very definition, sin is separation. What happened when Shirley died, her soul separated from her body. And so all that we have right now is her body. There is that separation. The separation of the body from the soul. But if you don't believe in Jesus, you are going to experience another kind of separation, which is separation in the lake of fire forever. And that's why hell is a place of eternal death. If there is eternal life in heaven, there is eternal death in the lake of fire. Imagine you are going to die forever in the lake of fire, where fire cannot be quenched, where worms do not die, according to the Bible. But if you are in Christ, you have this place called heaven. You will be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. Our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Our eternal home. Again, God forbid. And I ask you this question not to scare you, but I do it out of my love for you. Again, God forbid, what if you were to die today? Where are you going to spend your eternity? You are going to spend your eternity either in hell to suffer eternal death, forever separated from God's love, mercy, and grace? Or are you going to spend your eternity in heaven? Can you say with David, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Are you prepared to meet the Lord? Children, I read this illustration. One student asked, where is heaven? It was Sunday morning. Actually, it was the teacher who asked this question, a Sunday school teacher. She asked the question, where is heaven? And one happy boy replied, it is in our home since my daddy became a Christian. Where is heaven? It is in our home since my daddy became a Christian. Since my daddy believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you believe in Jesus, your life will be changed. Your life will be transformed. God will change you. God will change you. And He will change you from glory to glory. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that by Your grace, we who are in Christ can say with David, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Bless your word in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we're going to sing Psalter Selection 71. And this song is based on Shirley's favorite or one of her favorite passages, Psalm 27. The fearlessness of faith. And we will all stand as we sing this Psalter 71. You can find that. So we have this in front of you. You should be able to find that. And number 71, or page 71. Let's pray before we sing our doxology, which is "How Great Thou Art." And that song, you should find the lyrics inserted in our program. Again, this was one of Shirley's favorite hymns, "How Great Thou Art." Let's pray. Lord, our sister Shirley is in your hands, as she always has been, as she always will be. We thank you for removing the sting of death. We thank you for the guaranteed promise of a resurrected body. As we mourn, please convince us of the truth that death is dead and surely is living. Keep before us the day, the hour, the twinkling of an eye when we will see you again, and when we will see Shirley right along with you. In the name of our triumphant Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. receive God's benediction and go in peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.